Good morning, everyone. I just want to welcome you here at Cornerstone. We're so delighted that you've joined us here again. This morning, we want to be speaking about walking in the Spirit. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you today for allowing us to come together in the house of God today. We declare today that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut between the bone and marrow, soul and spirit. We love the word of God. I pray today that the Spirit of God will stand up big on the inside of us and preach the word of God, and that the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light, that we might know the hope of our calling, the riches of our inheritance, and the great power that's available to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Please place your hands over your heart. Say, I am good ground. And the word I hear today shall bring forth much fruit in my heart and in my walk with God. Extend your hands to the pastor. Say, Pastor, you're anointed, you're appointed, you have the green light, so preach the word of God. Amen. I receive it. I receive it. I want to talk this morning about walking in the Spirit. One of the things that I think that we don't understand many times is the Holy Spirit. We hear about the ecstatic infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we hear about speaking in tongues, but what is really, who is the Holy Spirit, and what is his purpose here in this life? I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not something that you get, but he is a person. And basically, he gets you. He takes control over you. And so if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you open up the doors and hearts of your life and say, come into my life, Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that when you open up the door, he says, the Father, behold, I stand at the door. This is Jesus. And if you open up the doors of your heart, me and the Father will come and sup with you. And what is he saying? Not the literal Jesus or the literal God, but it's the Jesus and God the Father in the spirit realm, which is the Holy Spirit that will come and be in your life. And so I want you to understand today that it's not something that you should be afraid of. The Holy Spirit is not anything you should be afraid of, but the Holy Spirit, you should welcome him because when he comes in with power. He comes in with strength. He comes in to make us better, not to make us worse, not to be fearful of it. But he said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So the Holy Spirit comes really to give you more abundant life. And really it is moving from the self-centered, meaning that I'm going to take charge of my life. I'm going to take charge of everything, to the spiritual center, the God center, where God, I place myself in your hands. I trust you to do all the things that you want to do in my life. I surrender myself. I'm no longer going to be on the throne of my life, but I say, Holy Spirit, here, you take in charge. You take control. Many times when people are at the altar and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I said, think about it like you're in the car and you're driving your car and you're saying, God, I want you to drive my car now. I want you to take me where you want me to take me. I'm going to get into the passenger side. I'm going to allow you to direct my steps. No, Lord, not only am I going to get into the passenger side, I'm going to get in the back seat. And I'm not going to be a back seat driver. I'm going to let you take me where you want me to go today. Hallelujah. Can you do that today? This is what God is asking us to do, is to surrender ourselves. And that's why our subject this morning is walking in the Spirit. Our text is found, and Pastor Banks read it earlier, John 16 and verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. This is one of his jobs, convicting the world of guilt in regards to their sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me in regards to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now is judged. So what is he saying to us? He said, I can't be with everyone. He was limited in the body of a man, Jesus Christ. He ministered to 12 disciples, three that was up close to him, 70 disciples that he spent time with, and 5,000 people that he ministered to. Now, if you think about that, look at all the millions of people that have to be ministered to in this world right now, living on this earth, not to mention the ones that have already passed by. Only God the Holy Spirit will be able to minister to them. That's why he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't limit him that he's only in Jerusalem, he's only in this place, he's in the desert, he's over here. No, he's with us. He's omnipresent. He's God in person. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything that we face. And then he's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. Nothing can distract from him. Nothing can stop him, because this is the God that we serve. That's why I love the scripture over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. It says that we might know him, that the eyes of our understanding might be flooded with light, that we might know the hope of our calling and the riches of our inheritance and the great power that's available to each one of us. That same power that raised up Christ from the dead is available to you. Hallelujah. He's available to me. Amen. If I will surrender myself to him, that's the hardest thing, because people don't want to surrender. They want to hold on. I'll let you handle the big things, God, but I'll take care of all the small things, or I'll take care of all the small things and you take care all the big things, or you take care of all the big things. Whatever. We don't want to release everything to him. And he's saying, give me the whole thing. I can handle all of it for you if you'll just surrender yourself unto me. That's what it's all about. Walking in the Spirit is really surrendering yourself to the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized also, and he was praying, and the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came down from heaven, you are my son whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of their wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let them who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight. Psalms 1 and verse 6 says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. These are just three scriptures that talks about how God looks over us and how God takes care of us. And so when we think about Jesus, why would he have to receive the Holy Spirit? Because he was a man. He was God in a bodily form. He was 100% man and 100% God. But do you know he didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit descended upon him? The Holy Spirit is the power source. The Holy Spirit is what causes things to happen. Well, he was God? Why could he not do miracles? Because he was limited to the earth realm. He was limited to this physical form that he had been given to enter into this earth to save man from their sins. But the Holy Spirit came and gave him power to accomplish great things. Now, the same thing with us. If Jesus had to have the Holy Spirit, how much more should we have the Holy Spirit? You know, I think about the fact I don't need to pray. Do you know that Jesus went and prayed all night to get before the Father? Do you know that many times he was asleep in the boat? Hallelujah. And he was still God, because he needed his rest. But he would get up and he would go into a solitary place just to pray, to receive orders, to receive strength from the Father. And so much we do. Pastor Ware, tell me a little bit more about how this all works. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? God in three persons in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God became man in Jesus so that Jesus could die for our sins. That was Jesus' responsibility. That was his job. Jesus rose from the dead and the other salvation to all people and brought salvation to all people through the spiritual renewal and rebirth. And when Jesus ascended unto heaven, his physical presence left the earth. But he promised to send the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit, his spiritual presence, will still be among mankind. The Holy Spirit is first became available to all believers at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Whereas in the Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit's power was specific to individuals. It was specific to a special purpose. The Holy Spirit would come intermittently. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But now the Holy Spirit has been dispatched to all of us on a continuous basis. He said, in those days, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It's not limited to a man. It's not limited to a specific purpose. It's limited just to us. Hallelujah. Those that believe and those that will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, all believers have the power of the Holy Spirit available unto them. Think about that. You know, he only came to David. He came to Samson. He came to Elijah specifically for a specific purpose. But now he's come to us. He's available to all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. And all you have to do is receive him. Amen. The spiritual man is one who walks by the Spirit, both in the sense in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what's contrary to the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The spiritual man is one who manifests the fruit of the Spirit in his own way. The Holy Spirit is God's promise. He's the guarantee to eternal life. If you really want to know if God is real, if you really want to know that there's a heaven, receive the Holy Spirit. He's a down payment of glory. You know, when you get ready to buy a house, what do? You put money down so that the seller of the house will know that you're genuine, that you are going to come through. I'm giving you a down payment, a certain amount that you know that I'm going to come through with the balance. This is what the Holy Spirit is. He's a down payment of glory. He's a little bit of glory here on earth. He's God's assurance that one day we will go to be with him. I don't know about y'all. I'm not looking for a lot of extra stuff. I'm not looking to walk on the top of those pews, although I don't think I could anyway, even. But either way, hallelujah. I'm not running up and down the aisles, amen. What I want the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, I was telling my wife, I got my second shot this week, and I tell you what, it knocked me for a loop. I had to go rest. It was a flu-like symptoms, and I just stayed in the bed, drunk water, and now I feel great. Amen. So it was worth it because I know that the down payment of it, the result of that will eventually be I will be protected against COVID-19. So it's worth it. And so I got the shot, and so now I feel better. It's the same thing. You get the Holy Spirit. Yes, you might have to give up some things. You might have to lay aside some of the things that you like to do. But you know, the end result is that you're going to have eternal life. That's what's so important about the Holy Spirit. Well, let me move on. I got to move this train. I can't be here all day. Amen. Even though Brother Greg wants me to stay here on this spot, but I got to move this train. Let's talk about three things that the Holy Spirit does. Number one is we walk in the Spirit's promise. We walk in the Spirit's promise. Number two, we walk in the Holy Spirit's peace. Number three, we walk in the Holy Spirit's power. So we talk about the promise, the peace, and the power. I always try to end up with three things. So if you keep track of it, you'll always be able to remember the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. He promised the disciples, if you'll stay there in Jerusalem, if you'll wait, I'm going to send you power from on high. Understand that the promise of the Holy Spirit was not just limited to the Jews. He was to everyone, every believer, hallelujah, can receive the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, through faith. Hallelujah. It's by faith that we're saved, not of works that any man may boast, but he's a free gift of God. All you have to do is ask him to come and take charge and control of your life. And that's all the Holy Spirit wants to do, is to make you better. Don't you want to be better? Don't you want to be victorious? Don't you want to live in a place of victory and not a place of defeat? Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us when we submit and surrender ourselves unto him. Amen. So there's a promise of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 states the acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Do you know when you can't control your temper that you're not walking in the Spirit? Selfish ambitions. You know, just think about it. I know we can't be political, but just think about how selfish it was for them not to winterize the equipment down in Texas. And now look at all the people suffering because the selfish ambition of people, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warned you, so did I before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What do you mean, Pastor? Everybody can be saved. If you're living like this, you're not going to be saved. I'm just letting you know. The acts of the sinful nature, all these things, I'm a sinning Christian. No, you're just a sinner that needs to be saved by grace. You have to change these things. How can you change these things? You can change them by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I got to do a little sin. No, you don't have to keep doing sin. Now, I'm not saying that we don't sin. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Bible also teaches us it's not God's will that any should sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate who is Christ the Lord. We can just come to him and say, God, you know what? I missed it. But you're no longer a servant of sin. Once you give your heart to the Lord and once the Holy Spirit comes in, if you'll follow him, he will keep you. You know when I made my biggest mistakes is when I would say, well, you know what? I think this might be the best course. And deep in my spirit, I felt the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't want to go there. Well, that doesn't make sense. It makes more sense for me to go this direction. But the Holy Spirit is here to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. So we need to walk. Aren't you glad about that? I tell you the truth. When I think about the Bible, it says that he's a light unto our path and he's a lamp unto our feet. If every day we will seek his promises, the promises of God, the word of God, will bring a light unto your path and will bring a lamp unto your feet. Tell me he hasn't done that for you. Haven't you ever been praying one time and you're in the presence of God and you're reading the word of God and all of a sudden God gives you exactly the direction you want to go? That's because the word of God is lighting your path and the promises of God is a lamp unto your feet. And then he's also, the Holy Spirit is your peace. The end results of the Holy Spirit works in our lives is a deep and lasting peace. Unlike the worldly peace, which is usually defined by the defined by the lack of conflict. This peace is a confident assurance in any circumstances that Christ is with us. You know, even when we're going through difficult times, even when we're going through COVID, we have this peace in our spirit that God is watching over us. We have a spirit of peace. Life is full of stress, but we need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with your peace, with his peace. You know, sometimes people are feeling depressed and oppressed, but if you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, he will fill you with his joy. He will fill you with his peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, 8 and 9 states, says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." You know, sometimes we think about the negative so much, but let us find something positive to think about. And whatever you have, whatever you've learned or received or heard of me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then here's the bottom line of it. And it says, "And the God of peace will be with you." See, when you begin to center your mind upon the things of God, and this is what the Holy Spirit does. He'll bring to our remembrance the things of God. You know, I know y'all know about me losing my little dog, Rusty, but sometimes I can look at the picture of him when he was so sick. But you know what? God brings to me many times the picture of him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, in his healthy state when he was so joyous and loving. That's the thing. That's the picture I think about. And it's the same thing with you. You, whatever you have, I know all of us have lost loved ones, but don't think about when they were sick. Think about when they were well. Think about the times that you had with them, the joyous times, amen, and the peace of God will come. And when you think about those things that are lovely, Paul tells us to program our minds. We got to program our minds. How do you program your minds and thoughts? Through the Word of God. You know, we've been teaching in the Master's Life. Spend some time with him. Program yourself through reading the Word of God. Program yourself through prayer. Program your mind so that your mind is not filled with all the negative things in this world. And what we put in our minds determine what comes out of our words and our actions. Paul tells us to program our thoughts. And he says, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, admirable, and praiseworthy. That's why it's important just to sing songs of praise. You know, have you ever been somewhere you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you feel this praise song coming to you, Sister Grace, and you say, "Where did that come from? I hadn't heard that." But the Holy Spirit is programming your mind, because a lot of times, even in the praise songs, it's the Word of God that you're singing back to him. Do you have any problems with impure thoughts and daydreams? Examine what you're putting into your mind. Examine what you're looking at on TV, and what books are you reading, and what conversations are you having, and what magazines are you looking at. Replace the harmful and impure with wholesome material. Above all, read the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God will reprogram you. It's not enough just to hear or read the Word of God, or even to know it well. We must also put it into practice. I tell you what, I want to encourage all of you, if you're not in the master's class, please get in there. You can come in late on Wednesday, because what it's helping us to do is program our mind, and you don't have to be any great scholar. Amen. Nobody's going to fail it. If anybody fails the course, it'd probably be me. But all the rest of y'all are going to get A's. Amen. Just finish the course. Amen. And you will be successful. Amen. How easy it is to listen to a sermon and forget what the preacher said. I remember many times, when I was a young man, that preacher preached. He sure did preach. Well, what did he say? Well, I don't know, but it sure did sound good. Amen. It made me happy. But there's no substance for you to take on how you live. That's why Pastor Ware tries to take time to teach and to preach. I want the word of God to settle in you so that you'll know how to walk this walk. Hallelujah. To talk this talk. Hallelujah. To live out the word of God in footsteps, to walk in his will, to walk in his way, and not just be confined to, you know, a lot of scriptures, you know, a lot of songs, but when you get outside, nobody can see any difference in your life. People should begin to see a difference in your life. How easy it is to read the Bible and not think about how to live differently. Hallelujah. So it must lead to obedience. So when we think about the Word of God, it brings us peace and confidence as we meditate on the things of God. Finally, walk in the Holy Spirit's power. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Paul divides people into two categories: those who let themselves be controlled by their sinful nature and those who follow after the Holy Spirit. I know I've said this many times. You know, the old saints used to say sometimes, they would say to us, just hold on a minute. They done really made me mad. I'm going to put my religion on the shelf. Have you ever heard that, Brother Greg? I'm putting my religion on the shelf, and then, because I'm going to let you know, in other words, I'm going to let this sinful nature take over, and then after it's all over, I'm going to take my religion down off the shelf and put it. No, it doesn't work that way. Your religion should control you, and not you control your religion. Amen. Oh, yes. Have you blown it sometimes, Pastor Ray? Yes, I have to admit, I've blown it sometimes. But you know what? I will repent of it, and I'll move on, and I will not revel in that place of where I have stayed, where I've fallen. Because the Bible says that if you repent of your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, what the next step? You get back in line. You don't have to get in the back of the line. You get back into the place where you have fallen. Amen. We talked about it last week. Repent and do your first works over again. It's not a hard thing to say, I'm sorry. Haven't you seen these politicians? They can't even say, I'm sorry. They can't even say, I made a mistake. Don't you know more people will be more gracious to one if you'll just say, you know what, I'm sorry. Because everybody makes a mistake. Everybody blows it. Amen. So they can understand that better than when you just say, I didn't make no mistake. I didn't do nothing wrong. Yes, you did. You know you did. Amen. But it's just a matter of saying, God, I'm sorry. And the person you've offended, I'm sorry. And just get back up and continue to do the work of the Lord. But I'm telling you this, the power of the Holy Spirit will help you to keep from making so many mistakes. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, amen, it does something special with you. He strengthens you. He keeps you from falling. He said, I'll keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne of God with exceedingly great joy. Amen. I'll just tell you my testimony. I know y'all probably heard it many times before, but I don't really care. I'm going to tell it again. Amen. I remember a young boy sitting on the back of the pew, not wanting to be at church, but a preacher got up and began to preach about this living water. Hallelujah. A water that if I drink of this water, I'll never thirst again. I will be satisfied. I won't have to keep coming, getting these little cups of water, but the water will be springing up on the inside of me. And I said, I want this. I want to have the person of the Holy Spirit living in me. And when I did that, when I came to him just as I was and surrendered my life and control of my life to him, and that living water began to spring up on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And it gave me the strength that I was never thirsty again, because I always had the Holy Spirit active in my life. He wants to do that for you. You don't have to just wait and say, I'm on empty. I can't hardly wait for a next service. No, he can be a spring in your life. He can spring up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. This is the Holy Spirit. He wants to come to help you. He wants to come to strengthen you. He wants to come to feed you. He wants to come to bless you. And all you have to do is just receive him just as he is and say, Holy Spirit, come and take control of my life. You're now in charge. You now have the power. You can bring me through every and each and every situation. I'm surrendering myself in you. I'm walking in your promise. I'm walking in your peace. I'm walking in your power. Oh God, empower your people today. Everyone that's here listening to this word of God, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Release yourself to him. Say, God, I surrender myself to you. Come and take charge of my life. Hallelujah. And he'll do it each and every time. God bless you today is my prayer. Love you. God bless you.